Father, we thank you that your word says that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cries. We thank you this morning that you are a prayer answering God. We thank you this morning that you're a God of great love and great mercy and great forgiveness and great grace. And we bring you all the praise and worship of our hearts, even as we come out of our Easter weekend where we contemplated your great love for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we can even thank you this morning for your Spirit who have sealed us for the day of salvation, where we are the people of God this morning because of what Christ did. We praise you, we worship you this morning. We want to thank you, Lord, that in you we can find forgiveness of the greatest of sins. We can find peace, we can find joy. That which the world cannot offer us, we can find in you free. And we are so thankful for that. Oh, Father, we are thankful for this local church, Lord, this place that you've given these believers to gather week by week and through the week, and where they can, even as Rudy read this morning, where they as a body can build each other up in love. Lord, we thank you that it's not the pastor's task to build everyone up, but the church must build itself up in love. So I pray even this morning that every member in this church will be a minister, that everyone will see themselves as an arm, a leg, a foot, a hand, a finger, and Lord, we'll be engaged in some way to be a blessing for others, to share their lives with others. I pray, Lord, for rich and deep fellowship in this church. We thank you for your grace even coming through a difficult time, that you're preserving them, you're protecting of them, you also teaching them. We thank you for that. We thank you that you're a God that never lets go of us, that's always there, always busy, and we are so thankful. And I commit this church to, I pray for the leadership. We think of Isaac and Marius and Nico, think of Rudy, and we pray, Lord, that you'd continue to encourage these men and give them wisdom and strength to guide this flock in the ways of God and protect this flock against the evil one and grow them in Christ and use them in a powerful way in the city where you've placed them. Help them bear much fruit for your glory. We thank you, Lord, that we are here this morning from all walks of life. We thank you that we can come to a God that's so big and so able that you are able to meet all our needs. Lord, there's no one like you. There's no one like you, and we praise you for that this morning. And so we pray this morning even for ourselves, just meet us where we're at and take us to where we need to be. Please, Lord, leave us not where we're at now, but change us. Change in us what needs to be changed. Where it's the wrong mindset, the wrong attitude, Lord, ways that's not pleasing to you. We pray, Lord, conform it to the image of Christ even in this day. And we think of our country, national elections coming up, oh Father, we pray for change for the better. We pray that you'd remove those who has no interest, Lord, in governing this country in a way that's good for everyone. Remove them and give us in this country leadership who cares for everyone in this country and who will do what's right before you. Please, Father, we ask for grace, we ask for mercy. See us, we pray. South Africa needs your intervention. And even this morning now, we pray that you'd open the Scriptures, that your Spirit will speak to every heart, and let no one leave here unchanged, Lord. No one leave here not having met with you through your Spirit, through your Scriptures, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The devil is very hard at work trying to get people to forget about God. I don't know if you've seen that in the world. God has been reduced to a swear word. You know, that's basically all that's left of God in the world, and the devil knows that if he can get you to forget God, he has won half the fight. If he can get you to forget God, that's half the fight won for your soul. I mean, God told Israel, Israel went into exile for 70 years. They were, you know, taken out of Israel, severely punished by the Lord, and the root cause was this: they forgot the Lord. God says in Jeremiah 2:32, "Can a virgin forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." And the end of that, the fact that God's people have forgotten God, His existence, who He is, they've just lived as if God does not exist, is that they ended up in exile. Over and over, God has warned them through the Old Testament not of the disastrous consequences if they would forget God. For instance, Deuteronomy 8:19 says, "It shall come about if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish. I will destroy you, says the Lord, if you forget that I'm God, I'm the one who created you, I'm your master, I'm your Lord." And so it's then very important, brother and sister, this morning that you remember who God is, that you know who He is, and that you remember who He is. That you don't buy into this lie where the devil is busy, pushing God out of school, pushing God out of social media, everywhere. God is just like relegated and removed. That we somehow come to think that the only God that's left is man, who is no God at all. So the Bible is clear that God wants us to be a people who not only remember Him, but we should be a people who sing His praises. He says we have received grace. We're a chosen race. We're a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9, to declare the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness into light. So God, remember God, because we are called to be those who praise Him, and we are called to be those who constantly put our trust in Him, to trust in Him. As the psalmist says, Psalm 116, 12 to 13, what shall I render the Lord for all His goodness? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and I shall call upon the name of the Lord. This is how I will honor the Lord. I will keep on calling upon Him. I will keep on trusting Him. And so, brother and sister, this morning I spoke of Niku, who said that even in the FOF they did this morning, they spoke on the attributes of God. We're going to look at a psalm that's really theology proper. Who is God? It's going to remind us this morning, who is this God that we serve? Who is the God that you should trust in? Who is the God that you should live a life of praising Him? And so please turn your Bibles to Psalm 146 this morning. Our text, Psalm 146. If you're visiting this morning, I trust that you'll come back next week to find out how Isaac, who's Isaac, because I'm just a visitor here. Don't let me scare you away. Come back next week. Isaac is a fantastic brother, loves the Lord, loves the Word. It's a wonderful teaching gift, but come back. But Psalm 146 this morning, our text, helping you to really live a life of trusting the Lord, a life of praising God, remembering who God is, where the world wants you to forget God. So Psalm 146, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs, he returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Yahweh raises up those who are bowed down. Yahweh loves the righteous. The Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widow, but He thwarts the way of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful psalm of praise. We don't know who wrote the psalm, but what we do know is it's a psalm of praise, as is the last five psalms in the Psalter. From Psalm 146 to Psalm 150, these five psalms all start with the word, praise the Lord, and they end with the same word, praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? The Psalter ends with just this big shout out of praise to God. They're not asking God anything, they're just saying, God, you're worthy to be praised. And this is what the psalmist does. He is committed. He has a personal commitment to praising God in his life. Praise the Lord, he says in verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and note the eyes and the eyes. You know, this is a personal commitment. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. This is a personal commitment to praise the Lord. I'm not just going to wait to get here to on a Sunday and for the guys who make music to praise the Lord. Me, myself, and I will worship the Lord. You know, a personal, tell me, is that true about you today? Do you have a personal commitment in your life to make great the name of God? Because this is what we see in the psalmist. He has this personal commitment to praise God and honor God as long as he lives. He says, there's this one thing I will do with my life. And I'm going to make sure that I give honor to God with my life. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to exalt Him. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, when He taught us to pray, teach us to always start your prayers in such a way that it starts with praise to God. Our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be your name. So before, and here's a question maybe this morning. When you pray to God, do you always just start with your shopping list? You just run to the Lord, say, oh Lord, today I need you, now I need you. Or do you start your prayers with a time of thanking God and praising God? Very important. This is how Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, here's a way to model your prayers. Hallowed be your name. Thank you, Father, for what you've given me. So I want to encourage you. We see here a personal commitment that the psalmist has to praising the Lord. And I trust you will have the same. To look at your life and say, listen, I thank the Lord for this little tarantal shirt I've got on today. Thank the Lord that I could choose between a couple pairs of shoes today for the socks. You know, the ones I have on today doesn't have holes in. The other ones do, but I like them. I even praise the Lord for the socks with holes in because they're awesome. You know, I thank the Lord for my wife and my boy and my daughter. I thank the Lord for, I just thank Him for this world that is, I just thank the Lord. I'm just thankful for the Lord. I trust you wake up some mornings and when life starts coming back to you, you're aware of what's happening. You hear some birds in the trees, some dogs bark, and you just thank the Lord. You say, Lord, thank you. This is another day. And thank you for that dog. I hate that thing barking now. But you made him. And I'll be thankful when there's someone in my house and he barks, but not now. And I'm thankful for a rooster out there. You know, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. Can you believe it? But he's got his purpose, and I thank you, Lord, for this house. And the bricks are still on top of each other this morning. No one broke in during the night when I was passed out. Lord, I'm just so thankful. The psalmist is committed to personal praise. You know, and we need to be young people. We take it for granted, food for granted. Lives, you know, young. When you're still living with your father and mother, you haven't earned anything in your life. You've done schoolwork, but you haven't worked for money. And so everything you have is a gift, not specifically even from our parents, but a gift from God. And you should look at your life and say, the fact that I can go to school, have a ride to school, the fact that I can go to school and learn stuff, it's a gift from God. Lord, I can one day pursue a career because you are giving me an education. Thank you so much. Oh, so he starts with a personal commitment to praise, but not just praising God. He's also now wanting you to trust in the Lord because he says now, and he warns against misplaced trust. And this is so important, a misplaced trust, because in verse 3 he says, do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. His spirit departs and he returns to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Because we are so easily deceived, brother and sister, like Eve. To trust your senses, to trust what you see, feel, and observe, instead of trusting in the Lord. You see maybe someone that's a prosperous person, a successful businessman, a rich aunt, a fluent parent, and you know, in the midst of your struggles, you very subtly put your heart on this person to save you, to help you, to be there for you. And the Bible says, don't trust in man, don't trust even in the best of them, don't even trust in princes. Why? It says because their spirit departs and they return to, literally it says, his earth. The most richest of men, the most influential of people, they were taken from this earth and they will return from this earth. From the dust you were created and the dust we will return. And people, all the promises they make you, the moment they are gone, friend, all their promises are gone. They promise you this, they promise you that, but the moment they are gone, all their promises are gone with them. And the Bible says, don't you now trust, have a misplaced trust. Don't put your trust in people, no matter how fancy and influential or rich they look, because in a moment they're gone. And when they're gone, people, then you walk and you discourage and you despondent and it feels like you have got no hope because you've put your faith in people and not in God. And so now the psalmist proceeds from verses 6 to 10, basically, and he gives 13 reasons why you must praise God and why you must put your trust in Him. 13 reasons this morning. Say, listen, so why trust God? Why praise God? Why be a people who look not to princes but look to God and praise God and realize every good gift is from God? Why? Why praise God? Why trust Him? 13 reasons. And the first reason is this. And to help you and me. Listen, to help you and me be more committed and more personally committed to praising God and trusting God. And the first reason he gives why you must praise God and why you trust Him, because it leads to happiness. You want to be happy? Who wants to be happy this morning? Okay, only some of you. Okay, for the some of you who wants to be happy, who put your hand up. Here's the way to happiness. Verse 5 tells us, how blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord of God. And that word blessed in Hebrew, Ashrei, it's the happiness. The word was used for the happiness of Solomon's servants when they served under his wise rule. It is used in Psalm 32:2, this word happiness, to have your sins forgiven and to no longer be under God's judgment, to know that you're going to heaven. Oh, that happiness, he says, this is how happy the man will be who trusts in the Lord, whose help is the God of Jacob. And note what he says here. He wants you to make sure that your help is in the right person. Whose help is in the God of Jacob. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of the Bible. The God of Israel. Is he the one that you trust? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whose hope is in the Lord, Yahweh, the great I am. Is he the one you are trusting this morning? He says, that's when you're going to be blessed. If you're trusting the God of the Bible. The great I am. And it's for no small reason that he uses the God of Jacob. He says he's the one that you must trust in order to be happy. Because you will remember when Jacob had a dream, when he fled away from his brother Esau. He had a dream while he slept on a rock. And the dream was he saw a ladder between heaven and earth. And there was angels moving up and down and God is in heaven. And so the God that we serve, the God of Jacob, is the God who governs both heaven and earth. That is why you are blessed, because he's the one whose business is everywhere. And he's involved everywhere, in heaven and on earth. That's where he's involved. And he's the God when Laban was cheating Jacob. He's the one who took care of Jacob, even in spite of Laban and all his wicked schemes. So he says, oh, you are blessed. You are blessed when you trust the God of Jacob. You are blessed when he's the one that you praise, you look to. And tell me this morning, is he the one you trust, brother and sister, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you look to him? Because this is the path to happiness. And maybe for some of you this morning, you're in a place of misery. Even as you sit here, you're depressed, you're disheartened. And the reason is you are trusting in princes this morning. Some person to give you happiness and not in the living God. I mean, we're having a counseling case right now, me and Delilah. A young married couple. That's struggling. And one of the reasons they are struggling and unhappy in their marriage is because the girl, the wife, is looking to the husband to give her all the happiness she needs in life. And she's not finding that happiness firstly in Christ. And so you cannot have a happy marriage, my friend, if you are firstly and foremostly trying to find happiness in your husband before you find it in Christ. Guarantee unhappiness. Maybe some marriages, even here today, you say, because you're looking, you know, sometimes me and Delilah will, you know, she will hug me and kiss me. And I'm like, baby, I think right now, this need you have for love is more than I can give. I think you need to have some quiet times. Like the Lord now, I'm feeling stretched here. I'm like, this need is too big. And that's the point, isn't it? Because don't trust in princes. Even the best of husbands cannot make you deeply happy and satisfied. Only God can do that. And maybe for some of you, you're putting your trust on a boyfriend or a girlfriend or on a teacher. And these people are letting you down and that's why you're discouraged. Come to the Lord again. Come say, Lord, oh, forgive me that I've trusted in princes. In mortal man in whom there's no salvation. Oh God of Jacob, I'm putting my trust in you. Oh Lord, I'm hoping in you. That is where the happiness lies, trusting in him and him alone. The psalmist continues, secondly, reason why you should praise God and trust in him is because he is the creator of all. In verse 6, we see this. How blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord is God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, that and that's all that's in them. We see in Genesis 1, our God, and Hebrews 1, our God created the whole world ex nihilo. Everything from nothing, by his breath he created everything. I was having an argument, argument with my neighbor the other day. I found out Easter weekend my neighbor is atheist. I said, are they asking me what you're doing for Easter? I'm saying, we're going to church and we're just taking it easy. And they're like, well, we're atheists. I'm like, woo! And we believe in science. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I believe in the Bible. I believe in science. And I'm like telling the guy that I believe in God. And the guy tells me that's atheist. He says, what? I mean, do you know how big the universe is? And you say God created that? I'm like, exactly. Exactly. You know how big it is. And for him, it's like there can't be a God because it's too big for me. It's like, listen, it's the only explanation for this big universe. He's a very big God. And this is what the psalmist is saying. Listen, the reason you should praise God and trust Him is because He's the creator of everything. My friend, what did you create this morning? Except a bit of chaos in your home. Huh? What did you create? What plant did you create? Plant species. What have you ever created? A plant species, animal species, a star somewhere? Well, anyone out there? And even those who created something took the stuff God created and they recreated that. You're not the original creator. You're only manufacturing and molding what He has created. And so this is the God of the Bible then that we should praise. And you should look out and say, God, You've put the sun out there and it is amazingly big. And all the planets, that's just so far and vast, I can't compute it. As Psalm 145 verse 3 says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Your greatness is unsearchable. This is how great He is. And not just when you go high. Have you seen the little YouTube things when you go inside, man? And they go into the cells, and inside the cells, there's more cells. Like, how deep can you go in there? And they don't have microscopes big enough to go deep, 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 deep down into one little blood thing of man. And He's the God of the minutest, and He's the God of the greatest. He says, this is the God you should trust, because nothing is impossible for Him. And He's the God that you should praise. When you hear that dog bark, think about that. He creates this animal that's so loyal and that barks when there's danger. It's like, wow. You know, he doesn't meow. Imagine a dog meowed when there's danger. Meow, meow. It's like, no, that doesn't scare you. That doesn't wake you up. See, it's just like everything that He made is so beautiful. The rain, the wind, it's all God, people. The wooden benches we sit on, it's from trees that God has made. And He said you should praise Him. Don't walk through life blindly. See everything that's out there. It's like this is from God. We're living in God's world and in the body God has given us. And praise Him and thank Him. Psalm Jeremiah 32:17. Oh Lord God, You have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and outstretched hand. Nothing is too difficult for You. My friend, there's no stone and no situation in your life too big that God cannot solve that for you. That's why you should trust Him. That's why you should trust Him, because this is the God that you serve. He can, there's nothing to Him, there's nothing impossible for Him. Oh, it's the third reason the psalmist gives why you should praise God and trust Him. And why you should not forget who He is, because He's faithful, verse 6b. He made the heaven, the earth, the sea. We didn't even speak about the sea. All the dolphins and the shells are like, who keeps faith forever? That means He's a faithful God. What He said He will do. Isn't that praiseworthy that we have a God like that who makes promises? The Bible tells us, or someone has reckoned, computed that there's more than 8,000 promises in the Bible. And God will keep every one of them. A promise He makes is a promise He keeps. And that's why we should trust Him. Some trust in horses and some in chariots, Psalm 20 verse 7. But we will trust in the name of the Lord. Why? Because He's faithful. He's faithful to His promises. Numbers 23:19, He's not a man that He should lie. He's faithful. If He tells you if you believe in His Son, you'll go to heaven, He will do that. If He tells you that when you reject Jesus and you say, I don't need Jesus, you'll go to hell, He will do that. If He tells you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, He will do that. He will always be by your side. And so trust Him, brother and sister, because He's a faithful God. Trust Him in your marriage. Trust Him in finding the right spouse. He's faithful. You can even trust Him when you pray and He says no. Do you know that? There's some of you, you've been praying about things and God has said no. Do you know no is also an answer? Because I can tell you, my boy, out of the 100 things He asked me, I probably say no 70 times. I don't know, maybe 60, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, there's a lot of no's. Because a lot of things that just, and the same when we ask God our Father for things, you can trust Him in that. Because Psalm 84 verse 11 says, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. See, some of the things you ask the Lord for, some of the fishes and the bread you ask the Lord for, what you don't know is that there are stones and there are scorpions. And you say, Lord, why don't you give me the stone and the scorpion? Because it's a stone and a scorpion, friend. That's why God is saying, no, I just need this guy to be my boyfriend. I mean, he's just the coolest guy in the school. And the Lord says, no, this guy will destroy your life. I'm not giving him to you. And I'm not giving that job to you. And I'm not giving that car to you. I'm not taking you to another town. Because those things will destroy you. And so often then the Bible says, no good thing does he withhold from the righteous. The things we don't have that we're asking for is because God is saying no, because in his love he's just so faithful to protect us and take care of us. He's a faithful God. Oh, wow, we should praise him. Oh, we should trust him. The fourth reason why we should trust him and keep on praising him and not forget who he is, we see in verse 7a, he's a God who fights for the oppressed. Verse 7a says, he executes justice for the oppressed. So often in the world, we see people use their wealth and their influence and their power not to be a blessing for other people, but really to manipulate, to oppress, to do wrong, to extort people. The word oppress means to crush, to wrong, to deprive, to take by force. Look at countries like Zimbabwe, China, Venezuela, Cuba, Russia, Gaza. I mean, those people's leaders use all their power to oppress their people. And maybe even in your own life, you're in a situation where you find yourself in where there's rich people who are trying to exploit you, and you can do nothing. You've used up all your resources. You cannot fight even further. And the wonderful peace you can have this morning, the Bible says, the God that you serve, the God of Jacob, executes justice for the oppressed. Long after your resources has run out, friend, the Lord will fight for you. Psalm 89 verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. This is how God does his business. By doing what is right and fixing what is wrong. That's the definition for justice. Righteousness, he always does what is right. Justice is he fixes what is wrong. And so you can trust in the Lord. Say, Lord, you see the situation here. You see how these people are using the power, even the law, to do what's not right. I'm trusting you that you will exercise righteousness. Execute justice for the oppressed. I'm looking to you to do that. As Jacob said, he said in Genesis 31, when Laban changed his wages 10 times. Genesis 31 verse 7, yet your father cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. However, God did not allow him to hurt me. God was taking care of me. God was protecting me. And that's why we should praise God, because he executes justice for the oppressed. Even in this country. I mean, we used to have, you know, many years ago, the white government oppressed the black government. And God came through for the black government and he brought justice for the oppressed. Isn't that right? But today we have a black government oppressing white people. And God will bring about justice for the white people who are oppressed. We believe that. That's the God we serve. It's like, listen, God doesn't see skin color. God wants righteousness and justice for everyone. So wonderful that we can believe in him. Trust in him and trust, Lord, please come do what's right in this country. Elections is coming up. We just want what's right for everyone. We don't care what color it is. Fifthly, we see in this text why you should praise God and trust in him is he feeds the hungry. Verse 7b. He's a God who gives food to the hungry. I mean, sometimes I drive through the townships or people come begging. They knock on my door, they beg. And, you know, you help the first or the second person, but then it's just too much. And you see all the people of need and you just think, if I have a million rand, I can't help everyone. You feel sometimes like that, totally overwhelmed. Like, listen, this is too big a need for any person to meet. Well, the Bible tells us that the God of the Bible is the one who gives food to the hungry. You don't need to carry that burden on you trying to feed the whole world. God will do that. This is who he is. He feeds the hungry. When Israel was in the wilderness for 40 years, we see how God sent manna 6 days a week for them. And the Bible tells us, Joshua 5:12, that the manna ceased the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land. For 40 years, every day, every 6 days. For 6 days a week, there was manna. There was no spar. There was no fields they could harvest. God from heaven fed them. When Israel hungered for meat, God sent them KFC Express. You know, the quail came by night, Exodus 16:3. When huge crowds were following Jesus, he took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, Matthew 14, and he fed thousands of people. This is who he is. He's a God who feeds the hungry. And every one of us who ate this morning, my friend, even if you don't believe in God, you ate because God fed you. Every meal you've had in your whole life, you've had because God's the one feeding you. Psalm 145 says this, verse 15 and 16. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You don't have food because you work. You don't have food because you open the refrigerator. You don't have food because there's a spot out there pick and pay. You have food and you eat because God's the one feeding you, my friend. And for that, you should praise Him and thank Him. And some of us are well fed. Huh? Isn't that right? Double thanks to the Lord for feeding us well. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for every slice of toast, every baked egg, every spoon of baked beans. Lord, thank you for feeding us. There's a 6th reason why you should praise and thank the Lord, because verse 7c, and put your trust in Him and not forget who He is. The world wants you to forget Him. See, what happens is when you forget Him, you're now going to put if you forget who God is, you'll be tempted to put your trust on people. And the Bible says, don't do that. That is the recipe to be disappointed. Think of who God is and put your trust in Him and praise Him for who He is. Because He's the one who sets prisoners free, verse 7c. The Lord sets prisoners free. We see in the Old Testament, in 2 Chronicles 36, of after 70 years in captivity, in exile, how God used Cyrus, a Persian king, to set His people free from captivity. God used a Gentile king to set His people free. Then in the New Testament, we see in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they become prisoners because they drove out the spirit out of a demon-possessed girl, a fortune teller. And they're in prison. And they sing hymns 12 o'clock at night. And the Lord so enjoys the singing, He starts tapping His foot. And then there's an earthquake. And the whole prison, all the doors flow open. And His servants walk out. And then that's Acts 16. In Acts 12, there's Peter. They want to put Peter to death. They already killed the apostle James. And now they want to kill Peter. They've imprisoned him, it says, with 2 chains sitting between 2 soldiers. 2 soldiers in front of the door. And it's just like they're going to kill him the next morning. And that night the Lord sends an angel and that chains fell off him. The doors go open and Peter walks out. And when he knocks on the door of Mary, Rhonda, the little servant girl, opens. She hears his voice. She runs in. She says, it's Peter. And the church is praying for him. And they all saying, you're making a mistake, man. It cannot be Peter. It cannot be him. She says, it's him. They all go there. Yes, Peter. Because the Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord sets the prisoner free, whether it's a physical captivity or spiritual. Remember the story in Mark 5, the Gerasene demoniac? Here was a man that couldn't keep with chains anymore. He was mad. He was walking, running around naked. He was cutting himself with stones. He was screaming and crying, having 1,000 demons inside of him. And nothing and no one could help him. Until he met Jesus. And Jesus chased those demons into those pigs. Destroyed the whole bacon industry of that area. Important lesson. People are more important to Jesus than bacon and food and farming. One soul, one man struggling is more important to Jesus than 1,000 pigs. And Jesus sets that man free. And maybe there's some people, you know, they're demon possessed. You know, you get that today still. It's not just demon possession is real. But today we give people pills when they're all mad and they do crazy things. And we just say, oh, you need a pill to just keep you calm. We're going to lock you up in a facility. And many people are demon possessed. They like this man here. And they need Jesus. They don't need pills. They need divine intervention in their life to set them free from demonic oppression. And Jesus can do that, friend. Maybe this morning you sit here and there's a sin that holds you captive. You've got memories of things you've done in the past and it imprisons your mind and it cannot let you go. It's the same dream that comes back over and over and it haunts you at night. Jesus can set you free. And you must call and say, Jesus, set me free. You are the one who sets the prisoners free. And everyone that's saved this morning can give a shout out and say hallelujah, because there was a time when I was imprisoned to sin and I've been set free. I'm here today because no one forced me to be here. I want to be here because I've been set free, people. Jesus set me free. I'm no longer a slave of my sin. I'm no longer a slave of devil. Yes, I still struggle with sin. Yes, I struggle with temptation, but I'm a slave no more. I've been set free. I'm here because I want to serve God. I can serve God because God sets the prisoners free, and I'm one to testify of that. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Amen. We've got a couple of those who have been set free. And that's why we shouldn't forget who God is. Because when you see your children and you can see, listen, my child, the reason he's on the wrong path is because he's chained to the devil. He's still in sin. He's in bondage to sin and Satan. Oh, no, Jesus, that's why I pray. Because you can set him free. I trust you. The Lord also, the reason why you should trust him, not forget who he is. Who is this God that we serve? Oh, the text tells us. It gives us theology proper. It's the theology of who God is. It helps you have the Word of God helps you have a proper theology, proper understanding of the nature and the person of God. We see here, seventhly, that he's the one who opens the eyes of the blind, verse 8a. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Yes, physical blindness, as Jesus did in John 9, a man born blind. I mean, Jesus spat on the ground, made clay of spittle, and applied it to his eyes, said, go, wash in the pool of Siloam. He went and washed and came back seeing. I mean, can you believe that? That's like, only God can do that. Were you born blind? It's amazing. But God doesn't only open the physical eyes, he can also open spiritual eyes. Spiritual eyes. Spiritual blindness. Remember the story in 2 Kings chapter 6? Elisha's servant, when they woke up the morning, he saw the army of Arameans, horses and chariots camped all around them. And he said, Master, Master, to Elisha, listen this. We're surrounded by a great enemy. And he says, oh, don't you know those who are with us are more than those who are against us? And he said, Lord, please open the eyes of my servant. And then his spiritual eyes were opened and he saw on the mountains horses and chariots of fire, far more than the horses and chariots of the Arameans. And so often in our lives, brother and sister, that's what you need. Maybe this morning this is what you need. Your physical eyes are open. You see pretty well. You've got 20/20 vision. They could get you for a Tom Cruise movie right now. What's that thing? Top Gun. You can become a Top Gun. You've got such good physical eyes. But your spiritual eyes are all blurry. It's all blurry. You don't see God. You can't, maybe you're even spiritually blind this morning. You've never seen your own sin. You think you look in the mirror and it's like, I'm just such a handsome mirror in the wall. Who's the fairest? Oh, yes, baby. But you don't see that in your heart before God. You're defiled and you're ugly and you're dirty and you're wicked. And God doesn't approve of you. And you don't see this morning, you, because you're spiritually blind, that there's only one who can wash your sin away. It's Christ. And I love the hand imprints here. Did you see this on the cross? I love the hand imprints here. Look here with a little nail in there. Beautiful. Where Christ was nailed, he's the only one. You don't see the cross. The empty tomb, that it's only him who died for your sin that can set you free. And you look to people, you look to yourself to take that blindness away, and it cannot heal you. Cannot make you see. It's only Christ that can make you see you for who you truly are and see God for who he truly is. See heaven for what it is. See hell for what it is. Maybe some of you this morning, you don't have hope because the eyes of faith have grown dim. The eyes of faith have grown dim this morning. The cataracts of worldliness and sin have grown over your eyes. Self-indulgence have blinded you. And you only live for the here and now. You don't see the glory ahead anymore. And you need to say, Lord, you open the eyes of the blind this morning. I'm so caught up in this life. Please, I need to see, I have a glimpse of glory again, that I can be excited about heaven. Excited about being with you for all eternity. Because it will be very much better, says Paul. Very much better. What's the best day you've ever had here in life, friend? It is dull compared to heaven. It is a bore compared to heaven. At your presence, there's fullness of joy, says Psalm 60. But you must open your eyes for that, see? You've become blinded and dim-sighted. He can do that. Oh, that's why we must praise the Lord. That's why you must remember who He is. That's why you must trust in Him. He can open the eyes of the blind, even your eyes right now. If you feel like you can't see God, you don't understand truth. You don't know why church is important, why the Bible is important, why God. If you feel like you don't get that, you need to have your eyes open and say, Lord, you are the one who opens the eyes of the blind. Please open my spiritual eyes to see life as it is. Eighth reason why you should praise God and trust in Him. He's the one, verse 8b, who raises up those who are bowed down. I love this about God. He's the one who raises up those who are bowed down. This life is full of hardship, isn't it? You're either going into a trial, or you're in a trial, or going out of a trial. Does that pretty much sum up life? Or does any of you just stay on the mountaintop the whole time? Like, woo-hoo-hoo. Listen, if this is you, woo, it's like you're on drugs. You know, you've got other problems. Because life is not just woo-hoo-hoo up here. It's a fallen world. It's the world outside the Garden of Eden. It's the world where we now partake of death. And by the way, these atheist friends of mine, good neighbors of ours, this is their big problem with not believing in God. It's like, why does these babies die? And the guy even went back, I mean, he was just like starting to lose it on me, went into the home, brought a tablet back with a picture of a 3-4-year-old boy lying on a beach that drowned, that washed out, and says, will a God of love do this? And I'm like, but see, you don't understand Genesis 3, my friend. You don't understand, we're not in the Garden of Eden anymore. Man chose to sin against God, and God said, the day you sin, you will die. We outside the Garden of Eden. We live in a fallen world, and this is our portion now. And this is why Christ had to come to open the way to paradise again, that we may have a better life. This world is full of dark things and things that hurt you. Parents hurt children. Children hurt parents. Family are mean to each other. Those closest to you hurt you the most. This is part of life in a fallen world. It doesn't make sense. It shouldn't be like that. You're right. But we praise God. Listen, this is who He is. He's the one who raises up those who are bowed down. And maybe this morning you are like that. You came in here, you smile on your dial. You just show everyone your Colgate smile. Or is it something else these days? So many new toothpastes and stuff like that. But in your heart, instead of a smile, there's a frown. Instead of a smile, there's a tear. The Lord is the one who raises up those who are bowed down. And I encourage you, come to Him. Come to Him and say, Lord, thank You that You are the one who raises up those who are bowed down. And see, here's the thing. The world, if you forget God, if you forget God, the world will tell you what you need is medicine. What you need is Prozac. What you need is more pills. Or if the pills don't, why not have some Prozac and a beer? And that's it. You know, just like 6 beers and 6 Prozac. Then it's going to really lift your game. But your real problem is that you're just emotionally wounded. You are hurting because of living life in a fallen world is tough. And it's only the Lord, that God who created you, that sees in your heart and can put a smile back on your dial. And to come to Him and say, Lord, You are the one who raises up those who are bowed down, and I'm bowed down right now. I'm hurting and I need You to lift me up. Psalm 34, it's so beautiful. It says this. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Man, sometimes we are crushed. Even when I wrote this sermon, I was just in a deep, dark place. I didn't know if, I was just depressed, and I didn't know, was this a spiritual attack? What is this? I felt so depleted and bowed down. I told God, Lord, I've got no reason to feel this way. I've got a job, I'm healthy, I've got a family, I have God in my life. But yet I'm so depressed, I'm so depleted. Lord, please help me, lift me. I feel like dying. Some even feel like taking their lives. That's how much you are crushed and bowed down. And I said, but Lord, you are the one who raises up those who are bowed down. I look to you. Because the Bible says, happy is the one who trusts in the Lord, the God of Jacob. Do you know what the Lord did? He lifted me up. He lifted me up because that's what he does. He raises up those who are bowed down. And that wasn't the first time. There's been plenty of times in my life where I've been depressed. And every time I've come to the Lord has raised me up again. Every time the valley was so dark and so murky, he lifted me up and he put me back up and he dusts me off and he cleanses me and he gives me a fresh breath of life. This is who he is, friend. And maybe some of you are discouraged this morning because instead of putting your trust in the God of Jacob, that God that's got a ladder between heaven and earth, that's whose business is the whole universe, you're putting your trust in princes, in mortal man in whom there's no salvation. Maybe it's a counselor here, psychologist over there. It's everything but the living God. Oh, come to him this morning and say, oh, living God, God of Jacob, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of the Bible, God of Moses, I am Yahweh. God and Father of our Lord Jesus, I call on you, the one who raises up those who are bowed down, raise me up. And I will not stop calling to you until you raise me up. I will not stop calling to you until I'm out of this deep dark place, because no one else can lift me out of here but you. The ninth reason the psalmist gives why you should praise God and trust in him. Can you see why it's so important to have a good theology proper? Why you should go to the guys who do FOF right now when they discuss the attributes of God, who God is, because the world wants you to forget God. And when you forget God, you become your worst enemy. God is our greatest friend, our greatest helper, our greatest hope. We need to be reminded who God is. And we see, ninthly, in verse 8, see that he's the one who loves the righteous. He loves the righteous. It says there, the Lord loves the righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? Well, Abram believed in the Lord and he was declared righteous. Righteousness it speaks of a right relationship firstly with God through faith. Righteousness, when you're righteous, it means that the Bible tells us we're all born in sin, and we realize as sinners we cannot fix ourselves, and we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, Jesus, please, you are the perfect righteous one, and for me ever to be right with God, you need to take my sin away and you need to give your perfect righteousness to me. Then I will be justified when you declare me righteous. Then I will be pleasing to God when I'm clothed with the righteousness from God himself. So the righteous person this morning is the one that's put his faith in Christ as his Savior, realizing he's a sinner. Without Jesus, he's on his way to hell. And he's the one that the Lord loves. Anyone of you trusted Jesus yet to be your Savior? Let me see your hand. No pressure. Anyone there? Okay, for those who put up your hands, say after me, the Lord loves me. Let me hear it. Loves me. The Lord loves me. The Lord loves me. The Lord loves me. The text says, the Lord loves the righteous. He loves me. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And you can make this verse your own when the Lord tells Israel in Isaiah 49:16, behold, I've inscribed you on my palms and your walls are continually before me. That love he has for Israel is the love he has for his righteous. You are always, he looks at his hand palm and your name's written there. It's inscribed in there. Inscribed in there. He loves you. He loves you. People may be blind to your needs, but the Lord loves you and he sees. People may be ignorant of your deepest pain, but the Lord loves you, my friend, and he sees. This is the God we serve. He loves you. Okay, and he knows what you're going through, and he cares. He cares. And there's even a reason in this madness that you're going through. Because he loves you. He loves you. Oh, how often people will say, no one loves me. Because they look at the world and everyone just continues their own way and carries on as if no one else matters. But remember who God is. He loves you. You may feel like my wife doesn't love me anymore, my kids doesn't love me anymore. Even the dog goes, dog goes to my wife. The dog doesn't even come lie on my lap anymore. I'm like really alone. I don't even get the newspaper anymore. So I'm really all alone. No, the Lord loves you. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves you. We are making progress. We come at the 11th reason why you should trust, or the 10th reason why you should trust the Lord, and why you should praise Him and be committed to praise Him, because there's just no one like Him. And ninthly, we see He protects strangers. Verse 9a, the Lord protects strangers. You know, when you're a stranger, you find yourself in a foreign culture, amongst people speaking a foreign language, and often at a loss of words, you don't understand what's going on. And when you're in a foreign country, you're far away from the people that love you. You're far removed from your support structure, and you feel totally isolated. And in that place where you feel totally isolated, the Bible says, there the Lord loves you, because He loves the strangers. He protects strangers. Even in our country, we've got xenophobic attacks, you know, which is, I don't get that. You're not afraid of strangers. That's not why you hurt them. You really hate them. That's why you hurt them. It's not fear that makes you hate them, hurt them. It is hatred for them. But God is a God who protects strangers. Verse Deuteronomy 10 says, for the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of hosts, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. He shows His love for the alien by giving him food and clothing. So show your love to the alien, for you were aliens in the land. I mean, some of us can testify this morning, before you became a Christian, when you were still an alien, a stranger from God. The motor accidents you've been in, the stuff you survived, you were not a child of God, but you look back and say, when I was still an alien, a stranger from God, God was good to me already. He protected me. It's wonderful to know that God protects strangers, because you may find yourself in another country. You may need to emigrate. You may travel to know that even here God will take care of me. And when your children emigrate and they go to other countries, you don't need to fear for them. If they serve the Lord protects strangers. He will take care of them. When they leave the home after matric, they go to university. Oh, my klein engelke, oh, my little angel, what will happen to you? Stranger in a big city, oh, your God will take care of those who are strangers. 11thly, the Lord, why you should praise Him and trust Him. Remember who He is. He supports the destitute, verse 9b. He supports the fatherless and the widow. You know, fathers are the ones who are providers and protectors. And when you lose the earthly father or you lose the husband, you're tempted to think you've got no provider, no protector, but that's not true. God is the God who has a special care for those who are destitute. Psalm 68, verse 5, a father to the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in His holy habitation. So if you're an orphan today, you don't have an earthly dad anymore. If you're a widow, you don't have a husband to take care of you. Know today that God is the one who takes care, who takes care and who supports the destitute. Instead of having fear dominate your heart, say, Lord, I really need a father now. I need you to be my husband, because this is who you are. I need you to take care of me. I feel vulnerable. I feel alone. Who will take care of me? You are the one, it says in the Word, will take care of the orphan and the widow. Help me, Lord, take care of me. Help me, Lord, take care of me. We see 12thly, why we can praise the Lord and trust in Him is the Lord frustrates the way of the wicked. Oh, I love this about the Lord. 146 verse 9, but He thwarts the way of the wicked. He makes it crooked. Those who are wicked, who live contrary to God, God says will frustrate their plans. He will make their plans crooked. They will not get away. If in this day people think that God just loves everyone and He's just kind all the time, the Bible says, but if you're wicked, you've got all these bad plans in your mind, plans to hurt other people, abuse other people. God will not be for you, but God will be against you. He will make your plans crooked. Your plans will not. You may think your plans succeed, but your plans are failing. Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but He blesses the house of the dwelling of the righteous. The curse of the Lord on the house of the wicked. And so we're thankful in this country that we live, we see how wicked people seem to be getting away. Say, Lord, You are the one who frustrates the way of the wicked. So we pray for this today, that You will frustrate all the wicked plans as we come up to elections. Whatever the IEC, whatever political parties are planning, scheming, we are praying, please frustrate the plans of the wicked. This is who You are. We want righteousness, we want justice. They're at work where people are lobbying and they are twisting and things are, you know, they are wanting to put me in a bad light. People, there's wicked people planning against me. Lord, frustrate the plans of the wicked. Take care of me. Please, I look to You. Be my Savior. Salvation is of the Lord. And lastly this morning, the last reason why not to forget the Lord, but be committed to praise Him and trust Him, is because He will rule forever. Verse 10, the 13th reason. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Though the world may seem dark and chaotic at the moment, there's a throne in heaven and God is on the throne. And He will be on that throne forever and ever, and He will govern every aspect of humanity forever and ever. Even this morning as we sit here, the Bible says in Matthew 10:29-30, are not two sparrows sold for a cent, yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. This is how supremely God is governing the whole universe this moment, even to the smallest bird that will die, even to a hair on your head. And should we not trust Him, should we not praise Him for that this morning, that we can know that He's in control, not the devil, not the EFF, not the ANC, not terrorist organizations, but God is in control. He sits on His throne in heaven and He will rule forever. Oh, the joy that brings to our hearts and should bring to your heart. Oh, how you should trust the Lord. Oh, when the wheels feel like they're coming off, remind your soul the Lord reigns. If you feel overwhelmed and unable to cope, remind your soul God knows what He's doing. He's sitting on the throne. So, brother and sister, that's the text this morning. And I trust it has brought before you a bit of God. Because I guarantee you, if you just come through the week, if you just worked, there's nothing in the world that reminds us of who God is. The world wants you to forget who God is. The devil wants you to forget who God is. The devil wants to destroy your soul. He knows that if you forget who God is, you're halfway on the path to hell. If you forget who God is. And God comes in His Word and reminds us who He is. That you can trust Him, that you can again start and praise Him, because wow, He is amazing. We've seen these 13 qualities here of God. That He, to trust Him, and that He's the God who brings happiness. And He's the Creator and He's faithful. He executes justice. He gives food to the hungry, sets prisoners free. He opens the eyes of the blind, raises those who are bowed down. Loves the righteous, protects strangers, cares for orphans and widows, frustrates the plans of the wicked, and He will rule forever. This is your God, brother and sister. Trust in Him, hope on Him, and as you do, happiness will be your portion in life. But if you trust, you turn your back on Him, there will not be happiness in your life, because you will think that you will have to fight everything in and of yourself, and that's just too much for any man to handle. Father, thank You this morning for Your Word, reminding us who You are. In a world where You are cursed and people blaspheme Your name, where people live as if You don't exist, we see all around us that You're the God of creation. That though people may not speak about You or speak about You in the foulest of ways, that You are still the one who created and sustains heaven and earth. And Lord, and You are the one who cares for the weakest and those who stumble, and You are the one who help and sets free and feed, and You are the one also who strives against the wicked. We're just so thankful this morning, Father, that we, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can have come to know You. We're so thankful that because of Him and His death on the cross, we can be Your children in this day. And help us, we pray, even as we go into this week, to make a point, Lord, to praise You. As the psalmist that say, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will praise His name. Be those, Lord, whose eyes are open to see Your glory, to see Your greatness, and to trust in You. Help us to be such a people, and then enjoy the blessedness that comes from that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.